بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, our dear guests, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us as human beings social creatures. And as part of that, we interact with other human beings on a daily basis. There are certain qualities that we like to see in people. So when we meet someone for the first time especially, but even with people with whom we have interactions on a regular basis, there are certain qualities that we like. And I think this probably goes across the board that everyone likes, you know, people who appear to have humility, who appear to be humble, people who are polite. So we don't like people who are rude. We like people who are nice, who give us respect, who are easy to talk to, and so on and so forth. So there are some general qualities, some general characteristics that we like to see in other people. Then there are the traits that nobody likes. And we especially don't like it when others have these traits. So we may have them ourselves, but we may not realize it. But when we see someone else possessing that certain trait, that certain characteristic, we don't like, for the most part, generally, dealing with such people. Because of these certain qualities, or see these certain characteristics and these traits. And probably at the top of the list, of characteristics that we don't like to see in other people, are arrogance. Arrogance and conceitful pride. The reason I say conceitful pride is because pride can have positive connotations as well. But what I'm referring to here is pride which leads to arrogance, or which leads to conceit. So generally, you know, if I ask you that, okay, would you like to meet someone for the first time? He's my friend. Or, you know, she's someone my family knows, but, you know, he's a bit of a snob. Okay, or she shows off a lot, but you know, would you like to meet her? So most chances are that you're going to think twice before you actually say yes. So while these traits, arrogance, conceitful pride, are traits, characteristics that may be disliked by other human beings, they are definitely not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ, that He loves, or He likes not those who are proud. Now we may not think much of it, right? So we might think, well, you know, everyone has weaknesses, there are all types of people in the world, there are people who are arrogant as well, or, you know, yeah, I'm a little bit conceited, or maybe I'm a little bit arrogant, but that's okay. So we may not think much of it, but among the diseases of the heart, and we've talked about this in the past, among the diseases of the heart, of the spiritual diseases, this is referred to as Ummul Amrad, right? The mother of diseases, or Akhtarul Amrad, the most serious of the diseases, of the spiritual diseases. When we look at the Quran and at the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, we really find that this is a truly troubling characteristic. In the Quran, in a number of places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links arrogance with the dwellers of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pinpoints arrogance as one of the characteristics of the dwellers of Jahannam. So for example, Allah says in the Quran, فَدُخُلُوا أَبَوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا فَلَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. So enter the gates of hell, of Jahannam, to abide therein, and indeed, what an evil abode will be for the arrogant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't say the disbelievers, right? He uses the term for the arrogant. And not only is it described as a characteristic of the people of Jahannam, which obviously is a characteristic which we then don't want to have, but it is also referred to by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as a barrier to entry into paradise. So not only is arrogance a characteristic of the dwellers of Jahannam, but it is also a characteristic which can be a barrier for entry into paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. That no one who has even an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart will enter into paradise. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't say that, you know, the person who always acts arrogant, or the person who, you know, shows off all the time, or whose entire heart is filled with arrogance, will not enter into paradise. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the person who has even an atom's weight, even مثقال ذرة, right, even the smallest amount of arrogance in his or her heart, will not enter paradise. So a person, right, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person who was there with him, heard him say that. He had a question, so he asked a question. He said, "Inna rajula yuhibbu an yakuna thawbuhu hasanan wa na'luhu hasana." Right? So what about that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, you're talking about arrogance, you're talking about how a person who has even an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart cannot enter into paradise. What about a man who likes his clothes and his shoes to look good? Right? He likes to dress well. Right, he makes sure that his clothes are ironed properly, and he's wearing, you know, quality clothes. I don't think they had name brand clothes at that time, but you get the drift, right? So he likes to wear clothes which are neat and proper, and which may be expensive. He wants to look good with these. So what about that person, right? Is that counted as part of kibr? Is that counted as being a part of arrogance? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Inna Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal." Right, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes us to be proper, likes us to dress beautifully, of course within the prescribed limits. But then He said, "Al-kibru bataru al-haqqi wa ghamtu al-nas." He described, He gave the definition of kibr, of arrogance. What is the definition of kibr? Or what type of kibr are we talking about? What type of arrogance is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to? That if a person has this type of arrogance, he cannot, even a little bit, he cannot enter into paradise. He says arrogance means rejecting the truth and looking down on people. Rejecting the truth and looking down upon people. So essentially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has defined for us, has pinpointed for us, two types of arrogance or pride that is blameworthy, that is prohibited. Right. So the first type, batarul haq, right? The first type is the type of pride or arrogance that leads to rejecting the truth. That leads a person to reject that which is true. Right? So this could be the truth, meaning the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their teachings. Or it could be simply refusing to accept anything else that is true. Refusing to accept anything else that is true. Right? And this we can find examples of very easily. Right? So if I have a shortcoming, right, if I make a mistake, I'm reluctant to admit to it. Right? Why? Because, you know, I want to resist it because I'm gonna look bad, it's going to affect my ego, right? So what do? I defend myself, even though I know that I am wrong, right? I've made a mistake. I have a shortcoming, but when someone points it out, or it comes up, I reject it, right? I try to play it down. I try to turn away from it, right? So any arrogance or pride that leads to the rejection of truth, this is the first type, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. The second type, looking down upon others, right? Again, very common, right? Looking down upon others. So, you know, I consider myself to be superior, I consider myself to be of higher stature, right, compared to everyone else or other people. And this could be due to any number of factors, right? So, for example, I'm from a particular race or ethnicity, right? Or I'm born in a particular place, right? And I'm very proud about that, right? And I look down upon others, right? So I'm born in Canada and I feel very proud about that. And people who are not born in Canada, I use derogatory terms towards them, right? I look down upon them as if I'm superior to those who are not born here, right? That's just one example. I consider myself to be very beautiful, to be very handsome, right? I consider myself, I think, I look in the mirror and I say, oh, subhanAllah, Allah has made me so beautiful, right? That's a good thing to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then if I walk out the door and I start acting like that, and acting like, you know, I'm so handsome and everyone else, well, you know, you don't have the looks. This may be more common among girls, perhaps, women, I don't know. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but perhaps, right? And you know, I look down upon others, right? I have jewelry, I don't wear any jewelry, I don't even have a watch right now, right? But let's say you're a woman, you wear jewelry, right? You have some nice clothes, you look down upon others, right? You say, well, oh, you know, such a group of women, they don't even know how to dress properly, right? Look at my clothes, look at the type of fashion I have. For men, right, cars, right, young men, right? So I have a very nice car, you know, and I'm blasting the stereo, you know, roll down the windows, drive around town, right? Looking down at everyone else, yeah, look at my car, you know, feeling good about it, right? Feeling proud, right? So it could be any number of things, right? Education. Right, so I feel like I'm very well educated. Right, there's others who are not as educated as I am. Right, so I feel, you know, some sort of superiority. I feel a bit of pride over that. Right, wealth. Right, so Allah has blessed me with a lot of wealth, a lot of money. All right, when I look at others, and you know, someone's living in a smaller house, or you know, or I know that someone's earning less, or I'm earning more than everyone else. I use that as a status thing. Right, or other status, position, right, the type of work you do, right. So I'm working in a very high position, I have a lot of authority, I look down upon others, right, and I say, well, you know, yeah, I have some power, you know, I have some say, I have some status, everyone else, you know, not so much. So these are all the type of things that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam may be referring to here, right. So anything that leads us to look down upon others. These are just some examples, right, that I was going through. Now the question is, as I mentioned this in the beginning, that arrogance, conceitful pride, is referred to as one of the most, or the most serious spiritual disease, the mother of diseases when it comes to the diseases of the heart. So why is it such a serious spiritual disease? Right? Why are there such severe warnings regarding this? So first of all, answer that question. First of all, pride is a characteristic which is not befitting of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Pride is a characteristic which is not befitting of anyone, for anyone, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi that might and pride belong to Allah. It says that might and pride belong to me. فَمَنْ يُنَازِعُنِي عَذَّبْتُهُ. That whosoever seeks to compete with me concerning them. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever seeks to compete with me concerning pride and might, I will punish him. Right? So this is something that belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not for the human beings. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person who has even an atom's weight of arrogance, of conceitful pride in his heart, cannot enter into paradise. Because it is exclusively the domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A characteristic which should be exclusive, which is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not for the human beings. Secondly, this is one characteristic which has a great potential. A great potential, so much that we don't even realize it, to be a roadblock to true belief and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what makes it so dangerous. Right? It has great potential to be a roadblock to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We all know the story of Iblis, right? The original shaitan, right? Iblis. What did he not have? Right? What did he not have? He had knowledge. Very knowledgeable. Right? More knowledgeable than any scholar. One of the most knowledgeable ones out there. Right? Very pious as well. Right? So pious that he would hang around the angels. Right? You know, now these people get honorary degrees, right? So even though you haven't really studied, but you've done a lot of work, you know, you've proven yourself, you get an honorary degree, right? You get an honorary doctorate, right? So Shaitan wasn't an angel, but he was honored. Iblis wasn't an angel, but he was honored so much because of his knowledge and piety that he was given permission to hang around the angels, okay? So that was something very special. But despite all of this, so despite having, you know, knowledge and piety, what causes downfall? What causes downfall? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him. Right? Of course Allah knew. Allah didn't need to ask him the question, you know, why did you disobey me? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us a lesson. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to demonstrate to us. So he asked him, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. Right? So what prevented you that you did not prostrate yourself when I commanded you to do so? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when I created Adam alayhi salam, and I commanded the angels, and you were with the angels, to prostrate to Adam, why did you not do so? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. So what is the response? I am better than Adam. I am better than him, meaning Adam. You created me from fire, and him you created from clay. Right? When you light a match, the flame goes where? Up or down? Goes up. Right? If you take a handful of clay and you throw it in the air, where does it go? It goes down. Right? He says, I'm superior. Because I'm made out of fire, right? He's a jinn, made out of fire. And human, Adam, he's been made from clay. Fire is better than clay, therefore, I am superior. Right? On the other hand, the angels did what they were told to do, right? And they submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels don't have any choice anymore, right? So they have to follow what Allah tells them to do. Allah told them to prostrate, they prostrated. Now for Iblis, his arrogance not only led him to disbelief, right? To disobey the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it also then led him to rebel. Right? Not only did he disobey the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? It's one thing to disobey, right? So Adam alayhi salam also disobeyed the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But did he continue to rebel after that? No. He turned to Allah. He sought repentance. And this is an example for all of us, right? Because there is no human being that's free of sins, right? But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that خَيْرُ الْخَطَائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Right? The best of those who commit sins and who make mistakes, which is, you know, out of all of us, are those who seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Adam alayhi salam, he went back, he did tawbah, he cried, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, I'll forgive you, but you have to go live your life, and so on. So we know the story. Okay, but on the other hand, Iblis, right, because of this arrogance, right, because of the kibr, not only did he disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then he also rebelled after that. Right? You see how dangerous this is? Right? So not only did it lead him to disobey, but then he goes on and he says, well, okay, you're gonna try to kick me out of here, right? You're gonna think you're gonna show me your power, okay, well, I'll show you what I have as well in my power. Now of course he knows very well, right? He's not delusional, right? He knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get him one day, right? But yet he wanted an escape, time to lead humankind astray, right? And he vowed to do that until the day of judgment. So we see here the effect of arrogance. When we look at some of the biggest enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, who made grand claims, who thought they were invincible, right, when we look at their stories, what's the common characteristic we find? Arrogance. Right? Look at Fir'aun. Right? Look at Fir'aun and his story. What do you find? Find arrogance. Look at Abu Jahl. Right? What do you find? You find arrogance. So how do we then stay away from arrogance? Right? How can we clear ourselves? How can we steer clear from this characteristic, which we definitely do not want any part of? Right? Again, the Prophet ﷺ says that a person who has an Adam's weight, even an Adam's weight of arrogance in his heart, cannot enter into paradise. Right? So how do we steer clear of this? Because this is very, very serious. So first of all, in our minds. Right? First of all, psychologically, in our minds, in our attitudes, we have to make ourselves it very clear to us that we realize our real worth. Right? We realize our real worth. What exactly are we worth? And I'm not talking about your investments, right? What I mean is, what really, in the grand scheme of things, what are we really worth, right? Does my Canadian passport really matter, right, at the end of the day, right? Does the language or my accent really matter at the end of the day, right? Does my ethnicity, my skin color, does that really matter at the end of the day? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask me when I go into my grave, among the three questions that I will be asked, will I be asked about any of these things? Right? Will Allah ask me, you know, how, you know, what kind of house did you have? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask me, you know, how beautiful were you? How handsome were you? Will Allah ask me, oh, what kind of car were you driving? Right? He might ask about that on the day of judgment if I misused my wealth or I misused these gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But Allah's not gonna ask me, you know, how good I was in these things. Right? These are not the things that matter. Right? Allah's not gonna ask me what kind of degree I had, right, on the day of judgment. I'm not trying to discourage people from studying, by the way. Okay? I'm not trying to discourage you from earning well so you can support your families. All of these things are important, and if done in moderation, they're all good if it's done with the right intention, right? What I'm saying is, if we use these things as a source of arrogance, as a source of conceitful pride, as a source of being a snob, for lack of a better word, right? Or for showing off, then these, we must make it clear to ourselves in our heads that these things do not matter. Our position, our status in society is not going to matter. And I might actually end up being a liability afterwards. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might say that, hey, I gave you this position. I gave you all this wealth. I gave you this education. I gave you this status. What did you do with it? How did you use it? Did you use it for good? Did you use it for Islam? Did you use it to help Muslims? Did you use it to help fellow human beings? Did you use it to make a better society? Right? These are the questions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might ask us. Right? So you must realize our real worth, right? I often say, right, about going into an airplane and looking down and realizing how small, you know, human beings are. And I'm not the only one who says that. I found out last week. So when I was in Winnipeg for this 4-day course on counseling Muslims in North America, there was an old auntie, old sister who was there. I don't mean old in a bad way, but mashallah in a good way, with a lot of wisdom. And she was sharing her thoughts, and she said exactly the same thing. She said, you know, every time I fly, I try to look down and see if I can see any human beings. And she said, I tried this time. She said, when I was landing in Winnipeg, I tried this time. I tried very hard to look out the window and see if I can see any human beings. She said, I saw trees, I saw fields, I saw buildings, I saw cars and buses and planes and buildings and everything else, but I saw no human beings. She said, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't see any human beings from the airplane until, of course, it landed. Okay, so just realize your real worth. Also realize that we are all made of the same. So no matter what we are prideful about, right? What we are arrogant about? At the end of the day, all human beings are made from the same thing. All human beings are made from the same clay, and our destination is the same as well, right? So whether it's a king, or whether it's someone who's homeless on the streets, at the end of the day, everyone has to go 6 feet into the ground. Right? This is our reality. So realize this as well, that we're made of the same thing and we're heading to the same destination. And what really counts, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Right? That the best amongst you, the most honorable ones amongst you, are who? The ones who have the most taqwa, who are most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have the most reverent fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is something you can't measure, right? Nobody has a taqwa meter that you could go and, you know, pop into someone's mouth or someone's, you know, pulse and see if they have much taqwa they have. Right? You can't figure that out. That's only up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who knows. Right? So then what do we have to be proud about? And secondly, when we are faced with the truth, don't resist it. It's very hard. It's very hard, especially if it has to do with yourself, right? Especially if it's a mistake or a shortcoming, right? That's found in you, and you're faced with that, it's very hard to accept that, right? Our natural tendency is to resist, right? Because we look bad. It hurts our ego, right? It hurts our worth of what we consider ourselves. The image we have made in our minds of ourselves, it hurts that, it damages that, right? So we have a very hard time accepting that. But try to accept it with humility. And, you know, in our, it's not just in our minds too, right? It's in our minds and the way of thinking, but inside ourselves, but it's not that. It's our outside as well, right? So a lot of times, you know, we think when we're having discussions, people have different views or different injunctions, different rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find different extremes, right? So some people will say, oh, it's only the inside that matters, right? As long as you have a clean, pure heart, right, and you want good for everyone, right, and you're sincere, then that's all that matters. What you do in your actions doesn't matter. And then you find the other extreme where all the focus is on the actions and nothing on the inside. No, there's got to be a balance between the two. Right? There's got to be a balance between the two. So not only does arrogance and conceitful pride have to be treated inside our minds, inside our spiritual hearts, but it also comes out in our actions and our behavior. Right? So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about appearance and dress when it comes to arrogance and pride. The Prophet ﷺ said that whosoever lets his garment drag along out of pride, Allah will not look at him on the day of resurrection. من جر ثوبه خيالا لم ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة. Right? So the person who lets his garments drag along out of pride, Allah will not look at him on the day of resurrection. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was concerned. Right? And this is the quality of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Whenever they heard something, they put it on themselves first. They didn't look around and say, okay, this is how this would apply to so-and-so person, this is how this would apply to so-and-so. No. They always look at themselves. Right? They're just worried about themselves. How does this apply to me? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he asks, he says, sometimes my garment slips down on one side unless I pay attention to it. So you know, if you're busy, you're walking along, something's happening, he said, my garment, it slips down to one side sometimes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are not doing that out of pride. You are not doing that out of pride if it happens by mistake. And you know, there's an entire discussion over this among the scholars. And oftentimes we see this as trivial, we make fun of this, right? So we say, oh, people are always worried about raising their clothes and all of that, right? But the scholars have had a very serious discussion about this. And have said that, you know, is it permissible to let it drag without pride? So if somebody's clothes are really long, right, is it permissible to do that without pride? And is that even possible? There's even a discussion about that. The hadith appears to indicate that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wouldn't do it purposefully, right? He would do it inadvertently. It would happen by mistake. In any case, it shows, this hadith shows that the way we dress can also be directly related to pride and arrogance. Right? So the way we appear, the way we handle ourselves, the way we dress, that too is not free from arrogance and pride. Right? It can also have an effect there too. So let's be careful about that. Our behavior with others, right? The way we interact with one another, even the way we walk, that can also be affected by, that is affected by arrogance and by pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُسَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and turn not your face away from men with pride. And turn not your face away from men with pride. So don't look at someone, right? You meet someone and you realize, oh, they're not really worth your time. They're someone of a lower status. People feel like that about imams sometimes, right? So you come across someone who's a religious scholar, someone who's an imam, you're like, oh, you know, okay, they had nothing better to do, okay? So they ended up becoming an imam, okay? They ended up becoming a Quran teacher. You know, they never got into any other school, so they went to an Islamic school, and this is what they become. Oh, okay, assalamu alaikum, you move on, right? Okay? I'm just giving one example, right? So people have attitudes, we have attitudes like that about other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, turn not your face away from men with pride, nor walk in insolence through the earth. Verily Allah likes not any arrogant boaster. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Verily Allah likes not any arrogant boaster. And he goes on, he says, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. And be moderate, or show no insolence in your walking. Okay, so even your walking matters, the style of your walking. And lower your voice. Verily the harshest of all voices is the braying of the donkeys. Okay, so be careful about how you talk. Right? Don't go, so loud that you start sounding like animals. Right? Be careful about these things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even addresses this in the Quran. He says, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Nor walk in insolence through the earth. Right? The prohibition of arrogance and something which is enjoining humility. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to walk, and this is some of the beauties of our deen, that all of this has been catalogued, right? Saved. Right? The Shama'il of Tirmidhi, describing how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be, his description, what he used to look like and so on. How he used to walk. So he didn't walk, you know, in a slow pace, dragging his feet, chest stuck out. No, he didn't do that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk quickly. Okay, he had a fast pace, quick pace. He lifted his legs with energy, with vigor. Okay, he didn't just, you know, let it drag and just stroll. And when he would walk, like I said, he wouldn't walk with the chest out. Because what's that the sign of? It's a sign of pride, arrogance. Right? So if a king comes along, someone who has power, right? Usually this is how they like to walk, right? Looking around like this. Right? This is not how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be bent forward slightly. He would be bent forward slightly. No, don't get me wrong. If somebody walks like that naturally, right, that's something else. I'm talking about people who are walking like that specifically out of pride and arrogance. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ, though, used to walk with a slight bent forward. Right? Not this way, the other way around. Right? Slight bent towards forward. So it's time for a self-diagnosis. Right? You don't have to do this right now. You can do this on the way back to work or when you go back home. So be aware of how you think. I need to be aware about how I think. Right? Is arrogance, pride affecting how I think and how I interact with others? Right? When I see someone, and you know, our minds make a judgment within a few seconds. Right? They say the first impression lasts, and the first impression is made within the first few seconds of meeting someone. Right? So when you meet someone, and when you make that judgment, right, is it based on arrogance and pride? Right? Is that playing the role in that? Is it affecting how you dress? Right? So there's nothing wrong with dressing nicely, right? We read about that. Prophet ﷺ addresses that. In Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful, He likes beauty, He loves beauty. Right? But are we dressing in a particular way out of pride and arrogance? Is it affecting the way we walk? These are all things to be conscious about, to think about. And I'll end with a hadith that describes the situation of the arrogant on the Day of Judgment. Right? So in this life, the people who are filled with arrogance, who are filled with conceitful pride, they believe, they think that they're higher than everyone else. Right? Too bad we have to all walk on the same earth. Right? Because if they probably had some way of being elevated somehow, they'd probably do that. Right? Okay? But we all have to walk on the same earth, but still, in the minds, the thought is that, you know, we are higher, we are better than everyone else. On the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the arrogant and those who are proud, conceitfully proud, will have the ultimate humiliation. The ultimate humiliation. And remember, the higher a person is, the more severe the fall. Right? If you fall out of a penthouse 30th floor balcony, it's not the same as falling out of a second floor balcony. Right? The severity is much more. Right? So those who think that they're very high above everyone else in this world, that fall is only going to be just as severe on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, قال يحشر المتكبرون يوم القيامة أمثال الذر في سور الرجال يغشاهم الظل من كل مكان فيساقون إلى سجن في جهنم يسمى بولس تعلوهم نار الأنيار يسقون من عصارة أهل النار طينة الخبال. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on the Day of Resurrection, the arrogant will be gathered like ants in the form of a man. You've seen how ants gather together, right? If you go outside, it's springtime now, all the insects and bugs are coming out, right? You see how the ants, the insects are all gathered together going inside their colonies, right? So Rasulullah says, on the Day of Resurrection, the arrogant will be gathered like ants in the form of men. Humiliation will overwhelm them from all sides. Right? Humiliation will overwhelm them from all sides. They will be driven to a prison in Jahannam called Bulas, with the hottest fire rising over them, and they will be given to drink of the juice of the inhabitants of hell, which is Tinatul Khabar. A very scary and very graphic description of those who are arrogant and who are prideful in this life. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me first of all, protect all of us, clean our hearts out of this very serious disease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being arrogant, from being conceitfully proud, from being snobs and show-offs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us humble. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with humility. And may He protect us until we enter into Jannah.